I think this applies to especially right now because everything is still very much in standstill. It's going with the flow and not putting so much pressure on yourself when things don't go the right way. Just pulling from the right line, and regardless of how well you fold something or how clean your room is or how, I don't know, how on time you are, they're always going to find something wrong. They're going to either shout you because your collar is probably not absolutely straightened or like your shoes are not shined to the best. So regardless of what happens, something bad is going to happen, and it's just up to you to just say, okay, good, this is what I'm learning from it. Next time I'll fix it. There's certain things that are absolutely out of your control, and there's nothing you can do about it except just have a good mindset, smile, and keep moving forward.
Welcome to the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics Leadership Journey Podcast.
This podcast aims to share leadership stories from our VMI Corps cadets and high-profile leaders who visit the Center for Leadership and Ethics and VMI Post. We're on this journey with you.
Hey, I'm Emily Coleman.
And I'm Derek Pinkham.
And we're your host of the podcast.
Ms. Holly Jabo, VMI Class of 2020, was the Pramaji Club president, a biology major, and a rugby player at VMI.
Holly spoke to us from her home in Los Angeles as she looks for employment during a planned year away before graduate school pursuits. She also plans to commission in the future.
And without further delay, we give you Holly Jabo. Holly Jabo, thank you for coming.
All right, yeah, welcome, Holly. It's good to have you on here.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Let's just start off by you telling us a little bit about yourself and what led you to VMI.
All right, so my family is originally from Cameroon. And so we've lived here in California for the past, I want to say, 13 years. And so senior year of high school, as part of this college orientation workshop, sort of. So when we had different colleges come and visit us, and Mr. E. Sean Lanier, he came and visited and gave us like a 15-minute pitch on VMI. And he showed us that video, which is, I think that is what gets everyone to come to VMI, that really cool video that they have on their website. And I was like, that looks really cool, because I was doing JROTC in high school. So I was like, let me just write my name down. Just from then on, he would just kept emailing us, and he was very persistent. So my dad was just like, just send your application and see what happens. You don't have to go. And I ended up getting in. I was like, okay, cool, but it's in Virginia. I don't know where it is, and I've never heard of it. So once I finally got in, I think the first thing I noticed about VMI was, I think what piqued my interest was the acceptance letter. VMI has one of the prettiest acceptance letters. It makes you feel so official. So I looked at it, I was okay, maybe this is a pretty good school. So I went ahead and like did a little bit more research, and it ended up being like one of the top two schools. So it was between UCLA and then VMI. We went with VMI.
That's nice. So did you know about the military aspect of it?
I mean, I knew it was a military school, right. And I was like, this is me thinking back then. I did a little bit of jury to see, I can handle this. But I did not, honestly, coming to VMI, I knew nothing about I knew of the rat line in my head. I thought it was like 9 days. I thought it was just a week.
Yeah. You'd be surprised at how many cadets haven't ever come before they actually then do matriculate.
Right.
It sounds like that was your case as well.
Yeah. My first day on campus was matriculation
day. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's pretty awesome.
Honestly, I think it was my blessing in disguise. I didn't come in with expectations of what, like, anything to expect. So I just came in with, like, an open mind. Like, whatever happens, happens. And I think, to me, that helped me, especially during the right line. I was like, okay, is this what we're doing now? Okay, cool. I'll just go ahead and do it.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, it's a good mindset. Where did you get that from? Do you think you got that from your parents?
Yeah, I think definitely because we immigrated here from Cameroon. Mm-hmm. So my dad's mindset has always been, you can't limit yourself. Don't set expectations on what's to happen. Don't limit yourself, because I feel like once you put yourself in that box, it's very hard to come out of it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's definitely what I applied going to VMI. I mean, coming here, like when we moved here to America, I had no expectations. I didn't know we didn't know a lot of people here. We just came in and just said, okay, we'll just see what happens and just work hard and just do your best. So I think definitely that's what I applied going to VMI too. And then my mindset was that, okay, if I can survive 4 years when I go to a place where I know absolutely no one, and I can go to a town where I know absolutely no one, I've never heard of it, and if I can get through 4 years of that, I can literally, there's no other place that I can go in and not be comfortable.
Right.
So that was, I was okay, this is my test of how I'm going to apply that to the rest of my life.
Excellent.
Very interesting. So in terms of leadership, what were you involved in at VMI as a cadet?
So third class year, I started off as a cadre corporal. And I realized that wasn't the best route for me because it definitely looks cool. Like I looked up to my cadre. They're like the coolest people at the school. But going into second class year, I mean, I didn't do anything cadre wise. I just did the old corps sergeant, and then I did the old corps first platoon leader. And I had so much fun in that position as well because it gave me a different perspective. And apart from that, I also was involved in the VMI Promaji Club. So I ended up being the president. First class year, I ended up being the president of the VMI Promaji Club.
That's awesome.
And I also did the VMI National Society of Black Engineers. And I was also involved in the Women in Science and Engineering Club.
So you were an engineering major?
No, I started as a physics major. Uh-huh. And then I switched to biology.
Biology.
One class. Yes.
That's great. No, biology is great.
So coming into VMI versus graduating, how do you think that your leadership style or your views have changed over the course of your 4 years from the time you entered to the time you left?
I think going in, I was a chronic micromanager.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
that's quite an admission.
In high school, I used to be, I was like, I can just get it done by myself. I'd rather, like, I'll give you something to do, and then I'll be sitting there trying to make sure that every step of the way you're doing it correctly. And then at VMI, one, you're leading a group of, like, 20, 40 people. There's no way you can micromanage any task. And then anything could happen. VMI is it's a good place because, one, it's a controlled environment where you can test out different leadership styles. And then you're allowed to fail and then evaluate what you did wrong and then move on from there. The fact that at VMI, it definitely pushed me past my limits. You have to get out that mindset of like micromanaging and just let people lead. And then just being able to sit back and then allow people to learn on your own, fail on your own, and then succeed on your own as well. So that 100%, I'm definitely glad that I got that skill at VMI.
Right. So you had to learn how to be more hands-off with things, essentially.
Yes.
And do you apply that to what you do now?
Yes.
Awesome. And what do you do now?
Well, right now I'm not in school. I decided to take a year off because next year I'll be applying to go to graduate school. And so right now I'm just job seeking.
Okay.
So I think definitely the mindset of, I mean, in those terms of submitting my application and then contacting recruiters and then just letting it, just going with the flow and just seeing what happens.
Right.
So that's definitely something that I'm applying now.
Well, but it's also a funky time with COVID and other things. Your final semester at school.
Right.
How did that affect what you're doing now, do you think?
I definitely had some opportunities lined up at the end of the semester that once COVID hit, they were just, after certain emails and contacts, were like, yeah, this position has been, we're not recruiting anymore. It's heartbreaking not being able to do something now because I think going to VMI, you're like sort of have a type A personality where you need to be doing something all the time. But the fact that a couple weeks ago, I contacted one of my BRs and she's going through the same thing looking for jobs. So it's also helpful that there are other people going through the same thing. So you're not out there by yourself.
Right. You're relying on your network and VMI has a very strong one.
Right.
It's kind of like what you guys have to do when you're in VMI. You know that everyone else is going through the same thing.
Very true.
So you get to rely on people like that.
Right.
Did you know what career path you wanted to go on when you were at VMI? And did you have leaders that you looked up to help mentor you and what direction you wanted to go?
Yes, in a sense. I came in to VMI with the mindset, okay, I was going to finish, get my bachelor's within those 4 years commission and then go off to medical school. So I had made a 10-year plan and I was going to follow every step of it. And then that did not happen. So I mean, I'm still planning on going to medical school, but it's just not playing out the way I want it to. Mm-hmm. Do, and then I'm also still planning on commissioning into the military, but it just didn't play out the way I wanted to, which is, in a sense, that's also a life lesson that I've learned through VMI. It doesn't matter how much planning you go into it, it's just not always going to work.
Right, but you're also okay with that and able to work through those tribulations.
Very true. Very true.
Has VMI helped you foster any core values for yourself and your future, and whether that's your career or your personal life?
Yes, I'm just going to reiterate again. I think this applies to especially right now, because everything is still very much in standstill. It's going with the flow and not putting so much pressure on yourself when things don't go the right way. Just pulling from the right line, and regardless of how well you fold something or how clean your room is or how, I don't know, how on time you are, someone is always going to find a reason. They're always going to find something wrong. They're going to either shout you because your collar is probably not absolutely straightened or like your shoes are not shined to the best. So regardless of what happens, something bad is going to happen, and it's just up to you to just say, okay, good, this is what I'm learning from it, next time I'll fix it. So there's certain things that are absolutely out of your control, and there's nothing you can do about it except just have a good mindset, smile, and keep moving forward.
Right. Like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you think VMI has improved your skills in working within diverse team settings? Because I'm sure that, you know, cadets at VMI are always put into team settings, and they're super diverse, whether it's diversity of thought, whatever it might be. How has VMI helped you lead those types of teams?
Yes, VMI has definitely helped me work with a diverse amount of teams, because, I mean, just being in the classroom, in the English class, we were exploring topics that everyone from different backgrounds had different opinions on. And I think it was extremely helpful, because sometimes I feel like sometimes you can get easily caught in your own mindset, and that sort of boxes you in, and that doesn't allow you to explore where other people are coming from. So being put in that scenario definitely helped a lot, because you think that way, it doesn't mean that that's the only way to think, or that means that's the correct viewpoint to have on it. So like in that aspect, being in the classroom and being exposed to different mindsets, that has helped a lot. And then also being, even when as a leader, your manner of leading is not always going to apply to everybody. Different people need to be led in different manners. So for example, being the president of the Promaji Club and then being a platoon leader, those require different like skill sets per se.
Right.
So like the way I was leading a platoon leader is completely different from the way I was sitting and leading as a president of the Promaji Club.
Right. Can you give us an example?
For example, okay, so at least for Promaji wise, there is no way I could come in and yell at people for doing something incorrectly or not submitting like a permit on time. That would not work. Mm-hmm. Like nothing would get done. And as like the Promaji leader, like I had to take maybe a step back and say, okay, just set up the meeting and then everybody come with like the tasks that were assigned, and then everybody just showcase everything that they've done throughout the week or the month or what goals they've met. And then we work from there, basically like conduct a small AR, right, and then move on from there. But that's completely different from when I show up in the morning for an inspection. You have to have the work done already. There's no, did you do this or did you not do it? You have to get it done. You have to show up on time. Your uniform needs to be correct. Approaching these two stairs, I had to have like a different mindset.
Right. So different roles require different leadership skills or characteristics. Yeah, that's no doubt. Yeah.
Can you touch on any peer-to-peer leadership experiences that you've had, whether they were difficult or they were just understood between BRs?
Yeah, I can definitely say it's much easier to lead maybe the people, like the classes underneath you, because they already have that established sense of respect.
Right.
But then when you're leading your BRs, there is sometimes it gets to a point where like, okay, I can't be your friend anymore. I need to be your leader. So that managing that fine line was a bit difficult, but it has to, you know, that at the end of the day, it has to get done. So sometimes I may not be your friend, or you may not like what I'm about to say, but because for the overall wellness of the group, I have to say and then fix you or do whatever I need to do to get the job done.
And maybe in a day or two, the roles would be reversed.
Right.
In some sense. Right.
Exactly.
So be the best leader you can be.
Exactly.
Is there any way that VMI helped to foster that peer-to-peer leadership skills?
I remember specifically Madeline Mosier. We were both like team captains of like the rugby team. And I remember just in that scenario, we had to talk. And I remember telling her that I was like, okay, I know that you love me because you're not scared of correcting me, even if it's in front of other people. And that's what, I think that's the mindset that we, even leading like the rugby team, that's the mindset that we approached it. We're like, okay, we started off as a self-led team until we got a captain. So every practice we'd say, don't be scared to correct us, regardless of if you're an incoming rat or if you're like the first classman, don't be scared of saying, hey, you did this correctly, because that means that you want better for me. You can't let me keep making mistake and you're aware that I'm making mistake and not fix it.
So that seems like a lot of trust, really. And
right.
And it also seems like a I have your back type of thing.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Right. We're here to improve each other, I guess, is a good way to put it.
That's a leadership skill in itself.
Right. Yeah. I mean, especially, I was going to say that, especially because we were a self-led team. So there was no, like, if we were out there correcting each other, then nobody else would be. So in order, because I love you and I care for you and I want you to succeed, I'm correcting you. And I hope that in the future you can do the same for me.
Right. So how has the current atmosphere with coronavirus affected how you lead yourself, your peers, your team, or how you did at the end of your semester? Or how you continue to do so now?
I think in March, I was a little bit more skeptic about how our class was going to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've done a very good job of going with the flow and then just doing the best with what is available to us. I remember around April, when they sent out the email for class agents, and I was so excited because, I mean, the aspect, like what it means to be a class agent, I love doing that type of work. So I signed up for it. And then when we were talking to the alumni board, that's one of the issues that I talked about. I was like, okay, how do we go about staying as a class? Because these last couple, like from March to May, we had a bunch of activities planned together as a class. I mean, these are all things that are meant to keep us together. Like, this is new to us.
Right,
but
yeah.
I think as a class, I think we've done a good job. I don't think we maybe missed out on what it means to have your last semester at VMI, but I don't think we're lacking in a sense, like class, like relationship wise, like staying connected. I don't think we're lacking in that sense. I think we've been able to manage this pretty well.
Are you in touch with your dykes?
Yes, we shoot each other text message occasionally, just updating each other on our lives.
Yeah, sometimes that mentorship stays for a long time for a lot of cadets. So I was just wondering about that network as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think, okay, so I remember being a rat, and then I never understood what it meant to be a dyke until I was a dyke.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand how much you personally have to foster that relationship and how much energy you have to put into it. And I think going to like the dyke role, I had expectations of what that relationship was going to be, and none of them were met. So that was, I think in a sense, that was kind of funny. But now I completely understand the amount of energy and effort you have to put into like keeping that relationship alive. Because it's not, yes, they are, in a sense, they were given, like the rats were given to me, but it doesn't mean that naturally that relationship is going to form.
Interesting. Good.
What does leadership mean to you?
Being a good leader to me means also being a good follower, because I think especially with VMI, everybody goes through all four stages of being a cadet. And when you're as a rat, your only role is to be a good rat. And then you look up to the people ahead of you, because in the future, you're going to be one day in those positions. So as long as you fulfill your position well, when at that stage, and then you're able to seek mentorship in the people ahead of you, like once you eventually take on those positions, then you're going to be able to fulfill them because you saw it from the follower perspective. So I think being a good leader, to me at least, means that you are an excellent follower and you were able to like look up to other people, ask for their mentorship, ask for advice, and then eventually when you are in those other positions, you can lead those people better.
You're turning it around and you're returning those lessons to where you were before.
Exactly.
That's an interesting thing. I don't know that I've thought about it that way. I think I like that perspective, actually.
Right.
I really like your go with the flow perspective. I try and do that too. Not have expectations, but just kind of take it as it comes.
I'm definitely not that. I'm definitely not the go with the flow guy.
I've had to learn to be that. I think, yeah. So it definitely wasn't like I was born with it or anything. Right. But it's because of the situations that I've been put in. Then I'm like, okay, just see what happens and just go with the flow.
Yeah, no, I wish that were me. Do you have a leadership practice that helps you do that? Or you just realized that you couldn't fight it or that it made more sense to just get in the flow and see where it takes you?
I think because previously when I set expectations, there is nowhere that everybody will meet those expectations. And in a sense, that sounds, it sounds kind of negative, as in people will always disappoint you, but they're not going out of their way to disappoint you. But so it's more like, okay, this, as long as maybe we meet 80% of what was set for us, then we're good to go.
is that maybe just a maturation process, you know, just maturing naturally or definitely VMI set you in that situation and you realized that you couldn't continue that way?
Yes, I think definitely VMI set me in that situation, which is nice because VMI is a nice controlled environment for us to fail and do well.
right.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much, Holly. It was really good to meet you and it was really good to talk to you.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
The VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics would like to thank the following.
Cadet Caleb Minus, Class of 20, for the intro and backing music. Find more of his musical stylings on his Instagram page, @MinusOfficial. That's @MYNUSOfficial.
Colonel David Gray, United States Army retired, Director of the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics.
And of course, as always, our podcast guests. Find this podcast and other CLE programming information on the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics website or try our YouTube channel.
Follow the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram accounts. See you next episode of The Journey. Thanks for tuning in.